Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Get all of Jordan's picks, FatJackSports.com. Jordan, big week.
Big week
for the podcast. Big week for Chicago. I can't think of a bigger week for Chicago. First, we get the Pope, and then we could have a defending champion in the UFC. Huh?
A defending champion in the UFC, an event that's headlined in Chicago by a Chicago champion later on this year.
Yeah.
It is a, and obviously, a friend of the show.
Big things for Bilal Muhammad this weekend.
Friend of the show. So I wonder if there's going to be a Pope reference if Bilal is successful.
I'm going to guess no.
Yeah. Probably not. Going that route right off the bat?
I'm going to go no with that because Bilal and I share the same interest religiously, I would say. I'm joking about the Pope.
Of course.
I think it's funny that he's from Chicago. You know, it's obviously a big honor for him, but I just think it's funny that, like, the first American Pope is from Chicago. I think it's very funny, all the jokes about him,
I just think
baptizing babies in Anjou and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the controversy about his fandom for Northside, Southside.
That's
great.
I love that.
And the fake news going out early.
That's so funny.
Not confirming resources.
You're a White Sox fan, right?
Yeah.
I'm a White Sox fan.
Yeah.
It's so much more gratifying that everyone thought he was a Cubs fan. Even that they got it on the marquee at Wrigley that said he's a Cubs fan, and then it was taken away from them. That, to me, is so much better than being like, oh, yeah, he's a White Sox fan.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really care about him being a White Sox fan. I like the fact that the Cubs fans and the Cubs organization was wrong, and they were claiming him their own, and they were wrong.
It's so good.
And just the scoffing that his brother did in the interview. Like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He's always been a White Sox
fan. So good. Okay, yeah. So you said something interesting I did not know.
Oh, there's a lot going on this week.
What is this Chicago championship? What is this Chicago pay-per-view that could be coming?
There's a rumor, and it's been going around for a while, that August has been identified. It doesn't have a location. It doesn't have a main event.
Okay.
And it likely could, Chicago could be one of the host cities for this event. And they obviously would want to headline that.
It's only 3 months away.
By Bilal, you know, Bilal would... Look, if Bilal is successful against Jack Della Maddalena on Saturday night, we're recording here on Friday, and he's got an opportunity then to defend his championship at home and bring a fight card to Chicago,
Bilal doesn't say no.
Yeah.
We know that. He doesn't say no.
But the bigger thing, I mean, the bigger news of the week, and Dana White confirmed this.
Yesterday is the International Fight Week.
Yes, the fact that the winner of this fight is going to determine the next opponent for Ilia Topuria. And he said it's either... Ilia Topuria came out this week and said he's either fighting Islam Makhachev for the UFC lightweight championship of the world, or he's fighting Charles Oliveira at International Fight Week. So what that means is if Bilal Muhammad is successful in defending his championship against Jack Della Maddalena tomorrow night, UFC 315, then Ilia Topuria is going to be fighting Islam Makhachev. He's not going to fight Bilal Muhammad.
They've already said it. They've kind of danced around it recently, where I've seen things where they're like, well, you know, you never know what could happen. Like, we do train. So, like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that if Makhachev beats Topuria, then, you know, something could happen. Like, I could see them eventually fighting. But you're right. As of right now, Makhachev
and
Bilal Muhammad refuse to fight each other because they train together. They have the same trainers. They have the same agent, I believe, too. So they're not going to fight each other. So, you're right. If Bilal wins, you get Makhachev Topuria, which I saw in the comments after the... after Dana White confirmed this, that, like, oh crap, now we have to root for Bilal. Because everybody wants Makhachev Topuria. Nobody wants Topuria Charles Oliveira. They want Makhachev Topuria. So now everyone's on our side, rooting for Bilal
Muhammad.
Well, I mean,
if they are on our side, I have not seen it really indicated on the odds, which is the thing that I care about the most.
It went back, it went down, so we'll get into that in a little bit. There's a lot of stuff to talk about at UFC 315. A lot of implications, as Jordan just laid out, for future pay-per-views, International Fight Week, you know, potentially a UFC main event or a pay-per-view here involving a Chicago champion, which would be awesome if Bilal Muhammad can win. He was out there in the Chelios Blackhawk jersey yesterday for the press conferences, which was cool. There's a lot of trash talk between him and Jack De La Maddalena. Maddalena, during the ceremonial weigh-ins, not the actual weigh-ins, he had his fist out in Bilal's face. Bilal pushed it away. Dana White had to step in. It's cool that Bilal has gotten, like, we've been talking to Bilal for a few years now, and hopefully he wins and, you know, can join us here again. That it's cool for Chicago. It's cool that, you know, for, I'm not trying to take, like, credit for it or anything, but this is going to sound weird. Like, it's cool for us that, like, a guy that we've been following for so long is now defending his championship. And, like, before, you get, it's different, right? You've watched MMA for a while. You've watched the weekly goings-on of a fighter who is fighting for the championship versus defending their championship. And to see him, like, go through all the, like, pomp and circumstance of being a champion and, like, getting all of the flowers and all that kind of stuff and all the everything that goes along with this week of defending your champion, it's cool. It's cool to see a guy like that who's been so good to us coming on this podcast a lot and so good to Chicago and always representing Chicago, getting this opportunity to now defend his championship and then hopefully get a chance to defend it again when he wins on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for the evolution of his career. The fact that, you know, he's a guy that got to the UFC taking a short notice fight, looked good in his UFC debut, even in a loss, had to bounce back several times in his UFC career after losses to get respect, and quite frankly, still didn't even have respect once he became champion. Mm-hmm. And yes, he did get the flowers and the pomp and circumstance here in Chicago, and there was a lot of notoriety in and around him, but now he's kind of back to that black sheep, if you will.
He's getting booed.
Exactly. He's not well-liked anymore, and, you know, the guys want to see him lose, and it's going back to him being a boring fighter and a guy that doesn't go out there and finish guys, even though he has multiple finishes in his UFC career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jack Della Maddalena is a guy that's, you know, the next come up in the welterweight division that Bilal Muhammad's going to hopefully be able to walk through and win against and be successful against. But, yeah, you're right. I hope, obviously, selfishly, I think we both hope Bilal wins. So we continue to grow our relationship with him and what he's done for us and what we want to do for him in his career. So we'll get to it. But before we get to the fights, there's other things, you know, that are the newsworthy that I think we got to discuss real quick. Look, I don't want to give him clicks, but I do have to talk about the fact that Colby Covington went to... Did you see this?
He went to
social... Okay, real quick. So this is why this guy's a fucking moron and an idiot. So he went to social media trying to play a prank on Bilal Muhammad. Apparently, Colby Covington was at the UFC Institute in Las Vegas. The fight is in Montreal. That's where Bilal is. But he was in Las Vegas at the UFC Institute. And he found, like, food that was labeled Bilal Muhammad and wanted to play a prank on him and, like, hit it. Like, took it in the fridge and put it in another place and thinking, oh, Bilal's not going to find his food. Moron. He's not even fucking there. He hasn't been there
in
2 weeks. Yeah.
Moron. I mean, it just shows...
Idiot.
Listen, when you're dumb and you get punched in the head for a living, like, you just get continually dumber. And that's probably not good for him. Like, he's an idiot. Obviously, we don't like him. There's various reasons why we don't like him, a lot of reasons why we don't like him, but also he's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a bad, bad prank. Do you not, like, did he think it was in Vegas? Did he think that they were going to have it either at the Apex or at somewhere in Vegas? I mean, what are we doing here?
He just didn't think ahead and was just funny to catch him in the act. And then, Poetan. So, cryptic tweet about Poetan being angry and upset.
I don't believe it.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, it gets take which well which don't you believe?
The I don't tweet believe or, that he got hacked.
Okay, you don't believe he got hacked.
I don't believe
so you're
he got
taking
hacked.
You're taking the approach of Chael Sonnen, who came out today on Friday here and said, no, I don't think he got hacked. I think he is frustrated. Mm-hmm. And someone then got to him and said, no, you got to kind of backpedal a little bit. But basically, Poetan came out on social media and said he's frustrated. It seemed to indicate that he wasn't getting the fights that he wanted. So he said, then he came out on Instagram and posted a video saying that his account got hacked.
Okay.
But it was very specific.
Here's my conspiracy theory. Correct me if I'm wrong. He doesn't speak the best English.
No.
Okay.
No, he does not.
That tweet was in perfect English. And, like, I understand you can have Google Translate and you can type something in and then translate and copy and paste it.
ChatGPT, too, you know?
I don't think he's going to those lengths. He's a world champion. He's got people that do this stuff for him.
Right.
Like, I know Bilal handles his own social media, right? Like, I've seen him out posting on social media.
Yeah.
Okay? I know he handles his own. I don't think that he's handling his own. I don't think that Poetan is out there.
So you're saying that he told one of his people,
people did it, and then he said, slow your roll. Okay. What are you doing?
Someone went rogue on his team.
Someone on his team, whether it's his agent, whether it's his manager, didn't like the fights that they were being proposed or didn't like whatever, the timing, the location, whatever it was, went rogue. And then he said, dude, what are you doing? Like, you got to consult me. There's behind the scenes things for this. Because once you get to a certain level, you get social media people, you get managers, you get all this kind of. The
right.
fact that it was in perfect English leads me to believe that it was not him.
I could get behind that. I could get behind that. I could get behind the fact that he had to backpedal and post on Instagram that he was hacked or trying to claim a story. I think two things need to happen. He needs to fight. We need to know what his next fight is and figure
out.
He's
not a guy. That's the other thing. He's not a guy that shies away from a fight. So if they're offering him something, if he doesn't think it's decent, he's going to be like, okay, I guess I'll do it. I'll just beat you. Like, he's not going to care if it's a bad fight because he believes he can beat whoever.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're trying to take him down and not give him a rematch, if that's what's happening. If they want him to go to a contender fight again and not just get a rematch immediately, or have him move weight classes to get an immediate championship. You know what I mean?
Look, there was also the rumors that he was floating out there that he wasn't 100% in the
Everybody says that when they lose.
Yeah, no one's
everybody says that when they lose.
No one's ever healthy.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into this fight card, UFC 315. It's a very good card. The first fight is not very good, so we'll just go over it very quickly. Benoit Saint Denis is facing Kyle Prepolitz. And this one is Saint Denis is -1050.
Well, very one-sided. The reason being is this is a short notice fight.
Yep.
Prolik is taking this fight in replace of Joel Alvarez, which is too bad because Joel Alvarez and Benoit Saint Denis was going to be fireworks. Prolik fought in the UFC, flamed out, two losses, won some fights on the regional scene, and is a local Canadian fighter. They wanted to keep Saint Denis on the card. Saint Denis wanted to remain on the card. So, you know, they get this fight. And it'll be fireworks for as long as it lasts. I can't make any recommendation on Saint Denis whatsoever. He's a -1100 favorite heading into this fight. So, look, there's two ways I think that you play it. Prepolitz is going to give him the fight that Saint Denis wants, and that's a striking battle. And Saint Denis has been preparing for that because Joel Alvarez is a very lengthy, tall, very good Muay Thai kickboxer. So he's certainly prepared for this type of fight. I think easily you look at the under at 1.5 as a play for this because a finish likely occurring. But I think if you want to sprinkle anything whatsoever, you sprinkle it on the dog. And the reason you sprinkle it on the dog is because Prepolitz is a striker that has knockout power, and Saint Denis is coming off back-to-back brutal stoppages. He got flatlined by Dustin Poirier at UFC 299, and then he got stopped by Renato Moicano due to damage. So
yeah.
Lacerations, build-up in that. Prepolitz could get that type of situation, and you never are feeling good about a guy that's coming off back-to-back TKO or KO losses. You feel probably a little bit slightly different if it was both KOs, but the damage that Saint Denis has incurred throughout his mixed martial arts career, not just in those last two fights, leads me to believe that at a 7-1 price, 8-1 price,
yeah,
maybe Fat Jack's got some NBA winners, he's got some MLB winners earlier on, a little bit of a sprinkle earlier on Prepolitz to get the win, for sure.
All right, we'll do that. I see plus 800 in places. The under that you mentioned, under 1.5, is minus 165. So, yeah, we'll write that down, and we'll do a little sprinkle on ProPublic right there for plus 800. Our next fight, Alexa Grasso versus Natalia Silva. Silva here minus 265 and Grasso plus 210. So earlier in the week, Grasso was plus 175. Now she's plus 210. So money coming in on Natalia Silva now up to minus 265. She's 6-0 since signing with the UFC. She's got wins over Andrea Lee, Vivian Arujo, Jessica Andrade. So she's got wins against very good fighters, and so it's obvious why she's a big favorite in this fight.
Yeah, I mean, she continues to look impressive, throughout her mixed martial arts and now in her UFC career. Young, athletic, powerful, very well-rounded fighter, and I think, despite, and I think it also speaks respect to how much the UFC believes in her, given her an opponent like Alexa Grasso, former champion, just getting off her trilogy fights with Valentina Shevchenko, and now she's got to meet this hungry, young, up-and-coming contender, and Silva is a massive favorite. I think you can't disrespect the boxing of Alexa Grasso, and you can't disrespect the finishing ability, the ability to hunt for submissions if Alexa Grasso gets a fight to the ground like she did against Valentina Shevchenko, taking advantage of that. But Alexa Grasso did throw up a complete goose egg, or was a complete domination by Shevchenko. We maybe get to that a little bit later on when we get to the co-main event of the mm-hmm. evening. But I think it's a combination of, I do believe Silva is ready for this next level up of competition in women's mixed martial arts, but I do believe Alexa Grasso presents the type of opponent that is difficult to get out of there. So let's get those odds down. Let's get Silva via decision as a prop. I don't know if that's going to be the Abdallah prop of the night. You probably wouldn't, because that's a boring prop.
Yeah, it's minus 150, too.
So, but again, if you're going to play this, Silva could go in our parlay for sure. And I think Silva via decision is the right way to play it, because also you're looking at it when she fought Andrea Lee, when she fought Vivian Arujo, when she fought Jessica Andrade, so those next kind of up and coming contenders, and even her UFC debut against Jasmine Jadzevicius, who fights earlier on in this fight card, all decisions. So Silva has really shown a knack for that finishing ability. So I think Silva via decision is the right play.
All right, we'll go with that one there, and we'll add her to our parlay as well. Our next fight here on the main card, Jose Aldo against Ayman Zahabi. Zahabi here is Canadian, so he's fighting at home. He has a five-fight winning streak. He is the underdog here at plus 165 coming down. So money coming in on him, he was plus 185 earlier in the week. Jose Aldo minus 245. He came back from two competition last year. He got a unanimous decision over Jonathan Martinez at UFC 301. And then he dropped a decision to Mario Bautista 5 months later at UFC 307. So he has been fighting recently. He's up there in age. He's 41. He is a heavy favorite here, minus 205, but money coming in on the underdog, Ayman Zahabi.
Well, let's get some news, Doug, here. The good news is breaking as we started to record this show on a Friday. Jose Aldo missed weight. Jose Aldo missed weight.
Yeah, but he's still going to fight.
No, they have changed this fight now to a featherweight fight. It wasn't even that Jose tried to make the scale and make the cut.
He just walked up and said he wasn't going to do it.
So, yeah, now he's going to the division that he could be considered the greatest of all time. Obviously, a division that he has not competed in quite some time. Jose Aldo, I mean, I don't know why the disrespect. I mean, this is a guy that retired, then went to boxing, did some other shit, then came back and looked beautiful against Martinez in that fight. Then he lost his second fight against Mario Bautista. But why is he fighting like these young up-and-comers? Like, he could have had a fight against Henry Cejudo. He could have had a fight against TJ Dillashaw or some of these other guys that were akin to him in the bantamweight division. And quite frankly, you also got to look at him like he fought Merab Dvalishvili. Merab never took him down.
Yeah.
Merab never took him down in the second coming of Jose Aldo. And what do we know about Jose Aldo? Great takedown defense, excellent Muay Thai, obviously has slowed as he's aged. He's now 39 years of age, so he doesn't have the quickness and the athleticism, but still a very difficult guy to get out of there, very difficult guy to game plan. And Ayman Zahabi, has the recipe to maybe, beat Jose Aldo because of the boxing, the strategy that he's going to have with his brother in his corner, Firas Zahabi, the famed head coach of George St. Pierre all those years at TriStar Gym in Montreal. But he's not a young, up-and-coming guy at all. He's 36 years of age, and no one's going to tell you that Ayman Zahabi is going to be a future contender in this division. Yesterday, I was on Jose Aldo, for sure. I still like the money line of Dower 80, Dower 90. I just think that Ayman Zahabi is a good matchup but and has the tools to beat him, but I just don't see it. Now with this weight cut, now with this issue that I don't know about, is there an injury? Is something happening in the lead-up? It's no play.
No play.
It's no play for me. If you have to sprinkle, it's Zahabi.
Yeah, plus 165.
If you have to sprinkle, it's Zahabi. But I am too concerned until further news comes out. So, again, I guess follow me on Twitter, Wood, on ESPN 1000. I'll tweet about this and see if I learn any additional information. Maybe we'll reach out to Dean Thomas. He's up there, as he alluded to last week
on
the podcast.
He was right last week, too.
On Montreal.
Helped us out with a big underdog last week.
He already sent me his picks for this week as well.
All right, well, while you're looking those up, Vegas believes this is going to the distance as well. Over 2.5 is minus 460. Aldo by points is minus 110. Zahabi by points is plus 240.
Yeah, I think Zahabi by points at plus 240 could be certainly worth consideration.
All right, well, maybe sprinkle on that one as well. All right, we've got two title fights on this card as well. Our first one, Flyweight Championship, the co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko against Manon Farrow. This should be a very good fight between these two. Very even odds, I would say. This has even come down in the last few days. When I looked at this earlier, Manon was minus 145, Shevchenko was plus 120. Now, Farrow is minus 130, and Shevchenko is plus 108. This should be a very, very good fight for the Flyweight Championship.
The last time that Valentina Shevchenko was an underdog, okay? The last time that she was an underdog, it was at UFC on Fox 20.
Oh, my God.
When she fought Holly Holm.
Jeez.
And I just want you to understand that those odds also include fights against Juliana Pena,
mm-hmm.
Amanda Nunes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else is worth of Talia Santos. And then, there is mad respect for men in Farrell coming into this fight. Mad respect for men in Farrell. And obviously the odds makers make it, and they're in the know, and they're setting the tone for this. And Farrell, obviously, great striker. Maybe the best or one of the best we've ever seen come into women's mixed martial arts. And very good takedown to defense. Showcase that as well. But Shevchenko is one of the best of all time. Shevchenko, got humbled a little bit when she fought Alexa Grasso, but then came back and just fucking dominated mm-hmm. that fight start to finish. Showed, again, why she is such a special athlete, not just with the ability to have creative striking in Muay Thai, but work in takedowns and work in just dominating position. The question mark for me is if Shevchenko is going to be able to rely on her experience, rely on her veteranship, if you will, and also be able to take Farrow down and control her, because Farrow is a gigantic fighter for the women's mixed martial arts division and knows how to use her size, knows how to use her athleticism when she's in there, whomever she's in there with. One of the best that we've seen to certainly ever do it. And quite frankly, I think it opened up a lot of people's minds to what she was able to do in there with Erin Blanchfield in her last fight to earn her the title shot. Blanchfield, known for her takedowns, known for her wrestling, but not known for her striking. Not at all. Mm-hmm. And Shevchenko has that. So, for me, Abdallah, and Dean Thomas agrees, Shevchenko. Shevchenko at that dog price. And, maybe she had Grasso's number. She knew what was going to happen. She knew she made a mistake in losing the title and had the drive and the fire to bounce back and win. But I think Shevchenko has more ways to win this fight than a man in Farrow. And I don't think Farrow is going to knock out Shevchenko. So is she going to outstrike, outbox Shevchenko for five rounds? I just don't see it happening. I think Shevchenko has more ways to win the fight. And Dean Thomas agrees.
All right, so we will go with Valentina Shevchenko as the underdog in our picks. All right, our main event here, we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, welterweight championship on the line. Bilal Muhammad against Jack De La Maddalena. This odds for this fight has gone all over the place. Bilal opened up as a minus 230, 235 favorite. It's come all, I saw it go all the way down to minus, what did I text you? 180, 175.
Yep.
Now it's back up. I see minus 200 in places. So Bilal Muhammad, minus 200. Jack de la Maddalena, who is undefeated, 7-0 in the octagon. Five of those have come via finish. We know Bilal Muhammad undefeated in his last 11. He's won six straight. That eye poke against Leon Edwards is the one that kind of interrupts the 11 undefeated right there. And so going into this fight, Jack de la Maddalena is the striker. And Bilal consistently has been the grappler. And that's why he gets, you know, the boring, all that kind of stuff. He likes to get, you know, put guys up against the cage. He likes to get in there. But he has been talking the entire build up to this fight as how he is going to try and knock out Jack de la Maddalena. He wants to show that he can be a striker. He wants to show that he has evolved as a fighter and that he can be the striker. That might go into my prop of the night, which is wild. But your thoughts on this matchup? Obviously a very heavy favorite, but Jack de la Maddalena has knocked out five dudes here. If five finishes in a row, not in a row, but five finishes out of seven and undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the strategy that you know that Bilal, like, if for any reason, like, relies on is the constant pressure, the takedowns, or the grappling slash takedowns, and then his cardio. Like, those three attributes are why Bilal Muhammad is the welterweight champion of the world and an extremely, extremely difficult guy to prepare for. And he might have the best cardio, like, in MMA. Like, that's how good it is, and it is a decisive weapon for him to be able to utilize. He has become a different fighter when he has started to train now with the Dagestanis. When he's training with Khabib Nurmagomedov and Islam Makhachev and all those killers out there, he has become, and we've seen it showcased, like, he started training with them for the Sean Brady fight. And he knocked out Sean Brady.
Yeah. Have you thought about sending your son over to Dagestan 2-3 years? No problem.
Fine. No problem. See you later, Max. That'd be actually a good discipline for him. I might consider that. All right. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it with Bilal if he comes on the podcast after the show. So yeah, he's been a different fighter. And Sean Brady, obviously, we know how talented that dude is because that's the only loss that he's had in his MMA career. And he just completely shut out Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards is known as for his striking and his kickboxing. Bilal, yes, he's been very adamant about his Canelo hands, and he's been working on his boxing. Okay, well,
that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about that he tries to throw something and gets caught.
Well, the thing is that he to work into what he wants to do, he's going to have to go into fire. Like, he's going to have to go into where Jack Delamado wants him, and that's in targeting distance and be able to showcase his hands and land something. And look, we have seen Bilal get knocked out. Vicente Luque knocked him out. We have seen him struggle with southpaws. Jeff Neal, southpaw, beat him. Luque, win, beat him. So even though he bounced back and got that win over Luque, you know, later on in his career. So, you know, that's the concern that you have with this type of fight. And there's a lot of pressure on Bilal. And he was able to obviously come through all the shit talking he was doing leading up to the Leon Edwards fight. He completely shut out Leon Edwards. But the pressure is on him again. But, you know, for
he's also hasn't been a favorite in a very, very long time.
Yeah. That's
like we've made a ton of money on him as an underdog. He's never come into one of these fights as a favorite.
The expectations are high for him, but I will also say to you and look, it stings in the back of my mind because we were on Gilbert Burns when he fought Jack de la Maddalena. Gilbert Burns was winning that fight for two rounds, using grappling, using aggression, using cardio, and then he got caught by a flying knee and stopped.
Yeah.
So there is that in the back of my mind that we could see a similar pattern in this fight. But for me, it's Bilal Muhammad. It goes back to what my roots are, my roots in watching this sport, what the UFC MMA roots are, the grappling execution, the wrestling, the cardio advantage. Jack de la Maddalena is not used to this type of fight in a type of fight that Bilal is going to bring. So I like Bilal Muhammad to win the fight, and I like him to win via decision.
Via decision. All right, Bilal by points, minus 105. Maddalena by knockout, plus 280. Maddalena by points, plus 650. Bilal by knockout, plus 850.
Is that? Oh, my God. Are you doing it?
Bilal by submission, plus 950, and Maddalena by submission is 22-1. No, I'm not doing it. I'm very tempted to. I might, like you said, if Jack has a good day in the NBA, if everything's, you know, coming up Abdallah over the weekend, you know, tonight, tomorrow, baseball's going well, I might throw a few shekels on plus 850 by knockout just to see if the true hands are there, right? Like, remember, he picked up Leon and dropped him on his head.
Yeah.
Like, that could have easily knocked him out. So I'm not going to go by knockout. I do believe the prop of the night is going to be Bilal by points at minus 105.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to go with. A little tiny sprinkle by knockout. Just a little bit. Like the lowest amount. How many? Whatever, 0.5, half a unit. Not even half a unit. Quarter unit on Bilal by knockout at plus 850. So we've got our picks here. You've got Bilal by points, minus 105. Shevchenko by decision at plus 110. Shevchenko straight up, sorry, plus 110. Silva by points at minus 150. And Benoit Saint-Denis under 1.5 at minus 165. We only have one fight
I'm just going to make this easy, and we're going to get this will be juicy. And I think we can get there. Let's go Silva, Shevchenko, and Bilal.
Silva, Shevchenko, and Bilal. Okay, so Silva, Shevchenko. Well, Shevchenko is going to help because
she's plus
money.
+110 or
so
plus 100.
Plus 340.
For those three?
For those three, plus 340.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, Silva, Shevchenko.
I'll have some Fat Jack picks for the the prelims and the undercard. So
I'm worried. FatJackSports.com. I feel like this is, I'm an Alabama fan, and I feel like this is like when Alabama goes to Ole Miss. Like, I know deep down, like, this is when Saban was there, obviously, because Alabama struggled since Saban left. But, like, deep down, I know he's going to win, but I know, like, I'm worried about it because Ole Miss can pull some shit.
I felt the same way with Leon Edwards. Like, yeah. I knew that Bilal would win and should win, but, like, yeah, there was nervousness, you know, about doing this, so.
Yeah. All right, well, shout out to Bilal. Hopefully he wins for all of Chicago, new Pope, current champion, whatever, all that good stuff.
Hope.
Everything's coming up Chicago. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. Like he mentioned, you've got baseball, you've got NBA playoffs, hockey playoffs going on right now, and soccer's coming down. You only got a few weeks left of the EPL, so get in while you can. Soccer's been hot for Jack as well. I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah, and we will talk to you next week, maybe earlier if Bilal loses. If not, we'll talk to you next week on the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.